Je suis Charlie, claimed the world's leaders after the Charlie Hebdo massacre. The British satirical magazine Private Eye reacted with a picture of them saying instead, Je suis charlatan. Because even as they appeared in Paris, many of those world leaders were imprisoning journalists, having bloggers jailed or lashed, or letting their spies loose to eavesdrop on investigative reporters. There's almost nowhere in the world where freedom of speech is the absolute that Charlie Hebdo argued for. Here, free speech advocates have long criticised the defamation laws, and the Australian Press Council takes flack from both sides. Some say it's too soft, others too tough. Professor Julian Disney made his farewell speech at the National Press Club on his departure from the chair of the council today. I started by asking him about how the Press Council would treat the scattergun, offend all equally approach of a Charlie Hebdo if such a thing existed in Australia.
We do now, following some changes last year, we really talk about distress or prejudice or risk to health or safety rather than just offence. So we've, as it were, lifted the bar and it would be whether it causes substantial distress, prejudice or risk to health or safety greater than can be justifiable in the public interest. And certainly I think there is a question, bearing in mind I'm only talking about a council which would be expressing a view, not about censoring it, not about saying it's illegal. But I think there might well have been some circumstances where we would have said this crosses that boundary.
Let's be more specific. What about depictions of Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha?
Well, in general, I think the council's taken a pretty relaxed view about that. I mean, one of the things we have to bear in mind there is quite apart from the position between different religions or denominations of religions, is also the position of those people who may hold something as dear as a religion, but it isn't actually a religion. So, you know, should we be giving religion some particular level of protection, which other things, which may be at least as deeply important to people, are not given. So we have to be careful about perhaps regarding religion as, you know, in a totally unique category of its own.
There's a very hot issue in America at the moment because of the measles epidemic about anti-vaccination campaigns. Would you think that an article which prominently pushed anti-vaccination would fall under the purview of the Press Council?
Well, the view we often take in that situation is firstly, their facts have to be correct. But of course, if there are some facts that are even vaguely arguable, if they're not indisputably wrong, then we would say you're entitled to express them. You mustn't omit key facts which show you are wrong. So they might be doing that. If the facts are disputable that they leave out, well, maybe that's okay. But if there's something indisputable which they've left out in their argument, then they would run into trouble under our standards.
But if you wrote an article in which you suggested that the Holocaust was a myth, that would fall under your purview?
Yes. But what we sometimes say is if you're going to publish something which is likely to cause extreme prejudice or even danger to health. I can give you an example where a paper published an article, in fact, by Margaret Court, the former tennis player, making some comments about homosexuality. And there was a great fear amongst well-informed people that that kind of article might lead to suicide amongst young gay people. The view we took was, nevertheless, that it should be allowed to be published, but the newspaper, given the risk to health and safety, had a very strong responsibility to publish something, in that case probably right next to her column, putting the other side. And in fact, that's exactly what the newspaper did in that case. They put the opposing view right next to Margaret Court's.
Now, you say towards the end of your speech today, you said some of the greatest obstacles to achieving and sustaining genuine freedoms are extremism and hypocrisy by people who prominently propound them and have privileged opportunities to exercise them. What do you mean? Who do you mean?
Without going into particular people, because that isn't all organisations, because that isn't really the point, it's more the principle. And it applies not just to freedom of speech and freedom of the press, but if we're going to really fight a battle for genuine press freedom, we've got to make sure it's not abused. The greatest threat, in my view, in Australia, it's very different in other countries, we've seen that with Peter Grester, but in my view, in Australia at the moment, one of the greatest threats to freedom of the press and freedom of speech is abuse of it.
Well, on that, you say you have a passage where you talk about misrepresentation, abuse and intimidation, breaching people's confidentiality, and publishing seriously false or misleading information. You don't say who you're talking about there, but you must have somebody in mind.
Well, those are really principles. I think that the most important thing is to say what are the principles, but especially to point out that the freedom of the press argument and freedom of speech is often hugely simplistically analysed, and one needs to bear in mind that some people using their freedom, and in that case I'm giving examples of publications claiming whether a particular publication here in Australia or other publications or digital publishers, blogs or whatever, it applies. The principle applies to all of them.
But the next sentence is, if a publication repeatedly and flagrantly engages in these kinds of practices, can it credibly portray itself as a supporter of free speech? That doesn't sound like a hypothetical. It sounds as if you're talking about a newspaper or a group of newspapers.
Well, it's trying to indicate that that the publication itself must take responsibility for that. I mean, we've seen, I wouldn't be sort of saying that if I thought it was a totally inconceivable scenario.
But you won't be drawn on who you're talking about.
Well, because I think the key thing really is to focus on the principles, and that it can be, the discussion, which I think is really very important, can be led astray onto too many side issues or matters of detail that aren't important. The key thing is to try and get across to people, look, even freedom of the press can be used in a way which damages free speech, just as free speech as a whole can be used that way. Even the apostles of freedom of the press amongst the press need to be careful. They're not using their privileged position to, in fact, reduce free speech for others.
Julian Disney, who's stepping down at the end of his term at the helm of the Australian Press Council,